Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen.
With me today, the dynamic duo of Daniel Mangana and Alex King. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
And we're especially happy because this is a good time of year. This is summer. This is when all the wonderful warmth comes out, even when it's a little bit more warm than you want it to be. But I don't know about you guys. Well, Daniel always experiences warm. I mean, that's where he is, you know. But here we have calmed down compared to where we were a few days ago. Has your weather calmed down, Alex? Maybe not?
No, it has not.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, hopefully by tomorrow for you, because you're not all that far east from where I am. But, yeah. It's been warm. It's been on the warm side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went to make delivery yesterday, and we have a little thermometer in the car, and the car said 102. I said, okay, yeah, that's warm enough. We're done.
Yeah.
What's that in centigrade?
Oh, it's going to be over 40, I think. Let me see.
Degrees centigrade?
I think. I may be wrong. I haven't calculated that conversion in a long time. I'm not sure. Don't take my word for that. I could be wrong. Okay. It's warm. Let's put it that way.
It's a little bit more than warm.
It's hot. Yeah.
It's
put it this way, to be in perfect candid, it is so hot you don't want to send the gardeners out. It's actually dangerous for people to be outside in that heat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we kept them in, which was a good thing to do. But the good news today, we hired another gardener. So we have expanded our staff. We're now up to 7. It's nice to have that much work coming in that you need to do that. This is our 4th hire this year. Yeah, 4th hire this year. So it's been quite the year. Yeah. And of course, it's coinciding with my recent entry into Taya Boot Camp. And we did one of the, there are two, as Daniel knows, there are two group meetings that you do each week. And I did both of them this week in the Thursday meeting. Everybody was talking about all of these huge monetary increases that were happening in their lives all at the same time. And so I felt glad I was able to contribute that. Yeah, we got a new employee coming in. So.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff going on there. It was also, hey, here's another really great thing. We had, Daniel, I know you've done those calls. It's a Zoom call. It's where you got kind of like what we have here, but they're like, tic-tac-toe. You got so many different screens up there. Mm-hmm. And, we had on my, I saw where my picture was on the screen. On my right hand side, there was an LOA Today listener. On my left hand side, there was an LOA Today listener. And I was thinking, wow, we're really well represented here. This is good stuff. I liked it. It was great. It was wonderful. Yeah. So, and getting good stuff out of it. We've been talking a lot about Taya lately, here on the show. And I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update on, what had happened. Cause after the meeting, after the show you and I did last week, Daniel, of course, I had my meeting with the stream. Mm-hmm. It was a very interesting meeting. I've kind of gone into some detail about it here on the show. I identified my three transgressors, as they're called.
Yeah.
Are you doing that now? Yeah. Okay.
No, did you have fun doing that?
Oh, did I have fun doing that? Well, I'll tell you what. Remember I was kind of like spooked out, because the stream was going to tell me what they were rather than, like you normally get with a therapist or a coach where they kind of, probe for it and so forth. Mm-hmm. Well, it was actually like a cross between the two, except that the stream knew exactly the right question to ask. So they would ask one question, I'd answer it, and they'd say, yep, that's a transgressor. Like, oh, okay. You're flying through this thing because it's happening so fast. Not like therapy. Therapy, you could take months to get there. But, with the stream, it's pretty darn quick. And I was really glad they record the session because, and this is something we were talking about yesterday. Oh my goodness. As the stuff is coming at you, and some of it is new information, your mind blanks out. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some stuff you simply can't process it fast enough. Not that they're really going really quickly. It's just that it's stuff that you haven't looked at in a particular way, and so it's new. Mm. And, I was glad that I had the recording because I could play it back. But in fact, there was one time, I mentioned this yesterday, where at one point the stream said that let me give you take a step back. My big goal with the program is I want to dramatically increase my ability to have my own stream type conversations internally. Mm-hmm. So I want to really strengthen that connection and be able to do dialogue. I mean, that's really where I'm hoping to go with it. So the stream said to me, X is where you have had that experience before, where you had that really strong connection that you were building up. And for the life of me afterward, I couldn't remember what X was. But that segment just blanked out in my mind. So I had to have the recording to go back and say, okay, what did they actually say? I can't remember. But yeah, so it's good to have that recording. But this has been good. It's a good experience so far. Here's the other thing. And I want to ask you about this, Daniel, because you and I talked about how you went through boot camp and what your approach was. I'm curious to see if you had a similar experience. I sat down to start doing the first module. The first module, you're kind of identifying what the three transgressors are, and you're doing a little journaling about it. And I found myself immediately diving off the deep end, and just I was like writing like crazy in the journal, and I was feeling like, well, first of all, it was really unusual because I don't like journaling, and here I am doing some heavy duty journaling. And secondly, I mean, they were kind of saying, well, just touch on each of them. I was going into depth with the whole thing. I mean, I was like just going into like every single example I could think of that supported what the particular transgressors were about. I didn't even get through them all. My hand cramped up before I could get very far. So I wanted to ask you, Daniel, did you have an experience like that, or did you just kind of do like they said and just do a little quick thing when you were doing your journaling on that first module? Do you remember? I know it was a while back for you, but.
I don't remember any hand cramps.
Well, good. I'm glad, because they're painful.
Or frantic scribbling.
Okay.
I think I'd come into boot camp having done a lot of transgressor work anyway.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have a lot of pushback internally. Mine was a lot more of a gentle process, mm-hmm. I would say. And it was just witnessing, I didn't react to that. It was more a lot more gentle for me.
Nice.
So no, I can't really say I had the similar...
Okay.
Personally.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to find out, am I going too deep in it? Because they said be brief, and I'm being anything but brief. So I still have to get an answer on that. You know, do I need to cut it back a little bit? Maybe. Not really sure. But, Daniel, I meant to mention, if you could bring your mic in just a little bit tight, because I was looking at the sine wave over last week, and yours was little teeny tiny, and ours was really big, and that's not so good.
How is that?
That's much better. That's strong.
Good. Yeah. So I tried to... spare the optics.
Same.
It looks good for you, though. It plays well with you. It really does.
It does?
Okay. Yeah. I think you have a very powerful look when you have that mic there.
We just did a visual joke. If you want to see it, you should be looking at us on YouTube.
This is true. Yes. Alex, maybe you should tell them how to find us on YouTube. Let's do that first.
Well... in a weather like this, you go to YouTube, search Away Today podcast videos, look for our smiling faces, click down below to the red subscribe button. Next to the red subscribe button, there's a little silver bell. Make sure you click all so you will always be notified when we're live.
And Daniel, when you said that, it also reminded me that we have this little private meme that the three of us have carried on off the show that we don't get into, but I'll just mention it here because it came up during today's tie-in meeting, and that's veganism. And I won't go into anything, but we'll just say that some of the same kind of ideas we were talking about came up in the meeting. So just saying that. I'll leave it right there.
Infinite wisdom seems to follow us everywhere we go. So
this is true. Yes.
If anyone has any doubts about our humorous references to certain things. Did I ever tell you about the science that someone told me about the cabbage? Did I ever tell you the cabbage story?
No.
I don't think so, no.
So I'm looking for the paper on this, but a reputable person told me this, so I can't quote it as fact until I found the scientific paper on it. However, a scientist measured what was going on with one cabbage whilst the cabbage next to it was cut in half.
Oh, my God.
And it had, there was a thing when the other cabbage was cut in half.
There was a spike?
Yeah, there was a spike, and the people left the room, and then they checked the response of the cabbage's proximity to the person who cut the cabbage in half, and it responded.
Wow.
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 Then, this is something all of you could look at that I found out about, because one of the guys that was on the call I was on actually does this. They're making music with plants. Different plants give off different frequencies that can be translated into music. And you can actually, based on converting the energy frequencies into different instruments, the plants actually make songs. You can go on YouTube and look at plants making music.
So what does it sound like?
Well, it depends on the instruments that they pick, but it's like they make symphonies. And so there's one guy, for example, the guy that was on the meeting, they're actually working with different plants to produce songs with the plants.
Nice.
That's crazy.
So,
I mean, no, good, crazy. I'm not saying that it's insane.
No,
I mean,
what I'm saying is for those who are speaking of the, consciousness. Like, I had this one person who had a real thing of, oh my God, plants are conscious because of X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, Dubri, what's it, blah, blah, blah. No, animals are conscious and that's why I'm vegan. And if you eat animals, then you don't care about conscious creatures. And there was going back and forth.
Yeah.
Their reason for veganism was that you can't, you know, it's a conscious thing.
Right.
I was like, everything has consciousness.
Mm.
That was like a year or something ago. And now it's like, oh no, they actually do. They're making songs.
That's pretty wild.
Now what are they going
to eat? What are they going to eat?
Yeah. We have to bring the consciousness out of the discussion, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I found that fascinating.
It is fascinating. Yeah.
But you can Google it. I'm looking for, so if any of the listeners know or can find the scientific research, I believe it's a Russian scientist about the cabbage.
Wow.
I'm looking for that because I'd really like it. But yeah, you can go on YouTube and look at plants making music and they hook it up to the plant and get the frequency of the plant and they translate it into music.
Wow. Cool. That's really something. Yeah. If you have a cabbage recording and a dolphin recording, can they sing together?
I think they probably are already singing together. We just can't hear the song.
Mm. Which is pretty good because there aren't that many cabbages in the ocean. So, I mean, that's really good.
This is very true.
Yes. Well, long distance. Hey, we already know that you know, where consciousness and conscious creation are concerned, there are no distance limits. Mm-hmm. So why not? You know, why can't the dolphins be singing with the cabbages in the field? I mean, sure.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, carry this out to its ultimate limit, I would say, isn't it fair to say that the entire Earth is a symphony?
For me, reality is a symphony.
All right. Yeah, take it off further.
Yeah, reality is a symphony being sung by Source in the form of we humans as we plod around.
I like that.
It's kind of, well, I guess it depends what kind of music it is, but from my perspective, you know, I suppose it depends on which aura you're listening to as well, but I just like the idea of that.
Mm.
I think about the Emoto experiments, you know, where he, the water, right, and the emotions that they apply to the different test water test tubes or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the pictures that Professor Emoto took of what they all looked like. Any emotions that are down the spiral in Taiya boot camp talk or, you know, low vibration stuff is always this ragged, jagged, crazy kind of stuff. And anything mm-hmm. that's the higher vibration stuff is smooth, like crystals and beautiful things and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Very, very interesting. That nature actually plays out that way. I guess nature has its likes and dislikes too. I wanted to follow up. Well, first of all, last week we didn't really have Alex's participation. She had other things that were going on. So I wanted to catch you up a little bit, Alex, on what had happened with Taiya. But also I wanted to follow up and I'm kind of restrained here because I've said before the show, we won't go in this direction. So I won't go that direction, but I just want to ask in general, from the perspective of somebody who's outside of Taiya and hearing about people who are doing this kind of thing, when you hear something like that, does it resonate in some way? Is it like, oh, well, good for him or good for her because they're a friend, but I don't really care all that much. What does it sound like when you hear about that. Because we've been talking about that all week.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay. So we haven't talked about it at all while you've been on the show.
You said there was a special guest coming last Thursday and you had people on all week. That's all you told me.
Oh, all right. Well, then we got to catch you up a little bit. Well, Taya comes out of David Strickle, who used to do the Tuesday show with me for a while there.
Yeah.
And of course, he channels the stream of David. Mm-hmm. And Taya is basically the business side of what he does. So okay. The Taya Boot Camp is like the main level that everybody comes into when they're joining the business side, doing the business with him. And it's a combination of stream channeling and coaching and both group coaching and individual follow-up coaching. And there's modules of work that you do on your own, watching videos and doing some journaling and stuff like that. And it's all about the whole purpose of it is to train you to what they call detune or, you know, lower the vibration and eliminate transgressors, things that affect you adversely that get in the way of you manifesting what you want in life or, you know, whatever goal it is that you're trying to achieve. And that combination has been extremely successful by all accounts. Everyone I've talked to about Taya has told me how successful it's been for them in terms of accomplishing just that, people having great breakthroughs and so forth. Daniel's been through the boot camp. He's now on the next level, which is called the Taya Mastery level. There he is. Okay. Doing his karate moves. But well, Daniel's always on a different level. We already knew that anyway. Yeah, I mean, he's just so good at it. But it's basically something where it's an immersion. I think that's why they call it a boot camp. It's a total immersion in building and working on yourself with a lot of support, a lot of help. It's pricey. I mean, it costs a good amount of money to get into the thing. But you're investing in yourself. And I think David has told us in one of the group sessions about how occasionally there's somebody who doesn't really do well in it. And it's only because they don't do the coursework. They just, you know, give up halfway through. But everybody who's passed through it has had tremendous success. Mm-hmm. So, I'm talking about it a lot here because I'm figuring this is my way to kind of share it with the community. They can all, the listenership can kind of live vicariously through me as I'm doing this thing. But I also have that curious factor, and that's why I was going to ask you about it. You're actually in a good place to answer it because you're coming at it blind. You don't really know anything about it. So when you're hearing about that, that's my question. What are you experiencing as you're hearing that? Does it sound real? Does it sound like a bunch of, you know, woo-woo nonsense? Does it sound cool? Does it sound, I don't really care? How does it come across to you?
See, I'm caught in between because I know the stream, so I know it's real. Mm-hmm. But if coming from the outside looking in, I'll be like, oh, here we go, another 9-5. No, I'm all set. That's where I would hear it from. But like I said, I've met the stream. I've been, it's not a bamboozlement, so I know what the deal is.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have two different views on that. That's interesting. Because that's part of what I've been thinking about in terms of how I've been doing the show the last week, 10 days, whatever it's been. Mm. I know that the regular listeners, they're becoming much more familiar with it because we're talking about it every day. But nevertheless, I'm wondering, you know, okay, well, if you're on the outside listening in, what is it like? So, okay, thanks for answering that. I appreciate it. We kind of touched on mastery last week, but Daniel, just give everybody a little idea again of what the mastery side is once you pass through boot camp. And basically, when you graduate from boot camp, what's happened is you reached your goal. Whatever it was you were trying to accomplish, you got there. If you were trying to attract money, you got money. If you're trying to attract a job, you got a job. If you're trying to, you know, attract a relationship, you got the relationship, whatever it is.
Well, it's an ongoing life practice. And so people, when they finish in boot camp, they end up in base camp, which is like, you know, you just hang out with the people that finished boot camp and be continuing their journey. If you want to kick it up a notch and do some really weird, funky stuff, applying the same principles and really take it to new levels, then you come and hang out with the mastery crew. We're also being charged a little bit more with independence around the material. So we have to host the group stuff and do mentorship for people that are coming through the program. And David has intentions for us to run boot camps with the material ourselves as well, as a longer term plan. So yeah, it's basically picking up the torch, I think, is probably the easiest way to describe it.
So, I mean, is that one of the reasons why you decided to do the Time Mastery, or are you planning to actually create a boot camp, or not necessarily create a boot camp, but boot camp in your neck of the woods?
I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with it. I know that I'm going to be here. Like, I didn't really have any like firm intentions about doing anything with it. I didn't even have intentions about joining the mastery program.
I remember he told us last week, Alex, that after he was done with the boot camp, David said to him, "So you're going to do mastery, right?"
I guess I am going to do mastery. And that's basically how it happened. that was it.
You're an easy sell, I guess.
Not normally, but it's like, oh, what are you going to do? Say no to divine access on a regular basis?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's not, so. Yeah,
because the other part that I'm wondering about for you is, I didn't realize they were actually trying to build off a bunch of boot camps, but I was wondering how you were going to incorporate what you're learning there with what you do with, first, you know, you have your book, Stepping Beyond Intention, you have a new book you're working on, your own courses that you're developing. I'm wondering how it's influencing what you're doing.
So the four pillars of time were already kind of sprinkled around, and I generally find that the work that I end up going into and people I end up working with, there's some resonance already exists, and either I'm getting new angles on something or a different way to look at it, or getting an opportunity to take something into a deeper level. So appreciation took acceptance, for example, to a new level. I was already into the intention stuff. Polarity took clearing to a different level because I'm letting go of my obsession between the two. So it just added levels of depth to what I do already, and more color to the narrative of what I teach versus me like wanting to rewrite all of the books because of what I've learned. And generally speaking, I found it to be more effective, efficient, and easy to manage that when I do get new stuff, it tends to form what goes on in my live program rather than recorded content. Yeah. So people that do live group calls with me will, for example, will see, oh, there's some new flavors going on. Or when I do a VIP day, oh, there's some new flavors going on. Versus me going back and rewriting everything I've done before. So I don't know what's going to happen with, I mean, we're not even there where he is going to be doing the boot camps for the masters just yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know what my workload's going to be. I don't know what the resonance is going to be at the time. But I'll certainly be supporting anything that they are doing around that.
And in your experience, just from what you went through and the people you've met through the program, do you concur that they've had that really high success rate that everybody seems to be talking about?
I don't know anyone that hasn't gotten what they went in for.
Okay.
But then I don't know anyone that's as obsessed with what they thought they wanted by the end that they were at the beginning, if that makes sense.
Why is that, do you think?
Because you start to look at reality a completely different way.
Ah.
Most of us, and I find this moment, most of us are running away from something or want something because it takes us away from the pain point of something. Mm-hmm. People that say they want to be wealthy is probably because they're sick and tired of being broke.
Mm-hmm.
People that want health is because they've done with a lack of health in their body. People that want to be in a relationship is because they're lonely and not in a relationship that serves them right now. This is what I find to be the case most of the time. When you start looking at, oh, I actually trust that everything's coming and I'm actually really happy where I am right now. I'm not really chasing money anymore. But then that tends to be the conduit through which it comes in. When I'm happy, whole and complete and in love with myself and connecting to the truth that I'm just sourced, then I'm not really lonely because I'm never alone. And therefore, a relationship's just a bonus. So it's interesting to see that it's the better position to have a healthy relationship come in anyway. So I don't know if I'm making sense from that, that angle, but generally when we want something because it's, when we want something because it's blocking us from getting what we want, then, I find it to be a much less effective place to create from.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting too, because that theme of I call that bouncing off the diving board, and on that bounce, depending on how hard you hit that board, it makes you fly higher. Yeah. That's kind of like the polarity thing. Mm. That's really what you're talking about. Somebody who goes deep into the polarity, they're the ones who tend to fly the highest. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually true. But that topic came up during today's meeting, actually. So interesting to bring that up.
I mean, that's one thing that I've always said, like, you know, the balls that hit the ground the hardest are the ones that bounce the highest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So,
The other thing that came out today was how, if you try, and this I'm also curious in the context of what you just said, if you try to maintain that high just level plays, polarity just is going to bring you down anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's going to create what David today was calling striving. Mm-hmm. That we're always going to want to strive at something. And even if we decide we're not going to do any striving, polarity is going to bring it in anyway. And we're going to find ourselves striving whether we wanted to or not. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to know, in terms of what you just said, because you were just talking about how, you know, when you're in that totally connected place, it's great to have relationships, but they're really a bonus because you already have the relationship and so on and so forth. You're already in that high vibe, up the spiral type place. Mm-hmm. So do you experience what David talked about? Is that part of your life? Do you experience that being pulled down and then having a striving that comes out of it?
So one of the things that I personally, this is my personal, this isn't Thai teaching, this is
right.
Speaking, is that what is being pulled down? That's a judgment of what is.
That's true.
So being gentle with ourselves in the face of being pulled down, I find to be beautiful, because then it's like, oh, okay, I'm down my spiral, but then it's not down spiral anymore. It's just witnessing a change in an internal environment or external circumstances. And when you recognize that it's just polarity anyway, then there's no judgment. Oh, this is not as good as that, or this is worse than that. It's just what is.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting way of describing it, a good way to describe it. And the reason I like it so much is that it is a reminder. I mean, even in the Thai boot camp, I'm struck at how often the topics that are brought up, particularly on the group calls, mm-hmm. are oriented toward that polarity, toward mm-hmm. What happens when you go down the spiral and so forth. Mm-hmm. And how do I say it? There's always the emphasis that we don't want to do any judging. And yet in the emphasis on going down the spiral, there's a judgment that's built into that. You can't really avoid it.
So that's what I'm saying. Like a lot of the... the aspects of this whole thing that we call up and down the spiral is just really an emotional state or an internal state that we experience based on what's going on around us, mm-hmm. that we quantify and identify as being up and down a metaphorical spiral. And this is something I brought up in Mastery. It's like, yeah, the spiral is just a thing. It's like, it's what it is. So for me, my Mastery journey is continuing to evolve to the point where, okay, there's a spiral, which is a topical graphical representation, mm-hmm. that sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down, but I'm not. It's just an experience that's happening that I witness.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. I like that.
And then, okay, cool. You're up, you're down. Oh, all right, cool. Then I'm not obsessed with, oh, I was down my spiral. Oh, I need to get up my spiral. Really? And that for me is the one of the bigger takeaways for me was just contrast is the tension that holds the fiber of reality together. Nothing is one way all the time. It will always bounce between the two.
True. Yeah.
When I remove my judgment of it and just experience it for what it is, and the detuning through appreciation is a way to make the transition beyond our immediate emotional experience and into being able to be free from it. That's freedom.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful way of describing freedom too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're working with a lot of the guys. And that's what we're working with right now with the the depth that we're going into, should I say, when it comes to coaching. Because I don't do as much one-on-one coaching now. I really like to just focus on these deeper, juicier, meaty things. And that's one of the things that I do hop into more consistently.
And that is one of the things that I'm noticing, particularly with the TAIA groups. I'm sure it's going to be true of almost any group that does something in this arena. And that is, everybody has their own stuff that they're working on and their own results that they're getting and the stuff that they're sharing and so forth. Mm-hmm. And when you take all of them together in, you know, from one meeting, for instance, and just treat it like sort of a quilt, if you will, or a tapestry, mm-hmm. it's a pretty cool tapestry. It gives you a kind of an overview of humanity in a sense. Like you get the sense that there are lots of different little things going on that I never see any day. You know, most of the days I just see my own stuff. I don't mm-hmm. see all their stuff. But when you're in the group situation, it's almost like you have a little mirror, or not a mirror, a little window into everybody else's lives about how yeah. they're experiencing the same topic. That's cool. And it's fun to watch that.
It's been really powerful for me to deal with the judgment junk.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot easier for me to deal with the judgment junk now that I'm not doing the same thing. I just keep working that.
And for me, experiencing all those people with bringing their stuff in the group, that almost ties into why I do LOA today. Because I have all of these co-hosts here, people like you and Alex and so forth, and all of you bring your own perspectives. And to me, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a lot of fun. So it has that same flavor for me. I guess that's why I'm thinking about that side of it. Because mm-hmm. I just enjoy hearing about all the different things that are going on. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm meeting a lot of these people for the first time. I can't remember what all of their names are. There was one woman who's trying to, she wants to manifest a new home in Hawaii. And I'm thinking that's a really interesting request, first of all. And she's talking about, you know, what's happening toward that end and how she's feeling good about it and so forth. And now Hawaii is something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to visit Hawaii. It's probably one of my top three things to do, but I've thought about it in terms of a visit. She's talking about actually going to live there. Mm-hmm. You know,
and Carrie's just finished her move to Belize as well.
That's right. Yeah. She was talking about that. Yeah. And which was also interesting because Belize is a country I never really thought about in terms of wanting to go vacation there or something like that, mm-hmm. but I was curious about it. It was just, it's an interesting company.
It looks really, really beautiful.
It is. It really does. Oh, yeah. Gorgeous. So
I'm excited to kind of visit at some point because it's
yeah.
for me to get there because I can just go south.
It's really close for you. Yeah, no kidding. You don't have to go very far at all. Yeah, very cool. I also got a sense, that sort of a flavor of how tight the TAIA community apparently is. Mm. There's a very strong connections seem to be drawn fairly quickly among people in that community as they're going through the boot camp, I imagine through the mastery as well.
More so in the mastery, I think, because a lot of them are the older school guys,
mm-hmm.
more the OGs. So they've been kicking around and hanging out for a couple of years in some instances, some longer.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely rapport built, and there's like a really jovial, loving energy between. Obviously, I had that with Matt because I've known Matt for years now. And developing, lovely camaraderie with the rest of the guys too. When I am, able to go north of the border, I'll definitely go and hang out in California. There's a couple of them in California. Kerry's down in Belize. We'll see what happens with that, but. Yeah,
right.
I think three or four of them are California-based, something like that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very nice, yeah. And I should mention, David's coming back to do another episode here in about 2 weeks, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And then Carrie's coming, I think, the next day. Not Carrie, Stacy is coming the next right. day. So we're going to have two of the top leaders coming through back-to-back. It's going to be pretty cool. It's been interesting too. I actually saw Carrie for the first time today. Now, anyone who's interacted with David They're really interacting with Carrie most of the time by emails and so forth. So that was my first chance to actually see what Carrie was like. I liked her. She was really cool. She was a great person. Yeah. And Stacey, I don't know what I expected with Stacey, but I like Stacey. I like her a lot.
Really, she's really chill. She's like really got that chill California vibe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. I agree with that. Yeah. And I have to admit the fact that my hair color and her hair color were similar was reassuring for me.
are you judging your hair color, young man?
I suppose in a sense I am, yeah. But what I think what I'm really doing is just saying to myself how nice it is that I'll be perfectly honest, there are times when I feel like I was behind the curve because of how late in life I learned a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy whenever I meet younger people like yourself and others who have discovered this stuff earlier on in life than I did. And I love the fact that you guys are benefiting from it and applying it in your lives. But there's that little piece of me that says, well, why couldn't have I had that? I wanted to have that when I was that young. You know, why is it just me? Well, it's not just me. No. There are others who had a similar story. And that I think that's the part that's reassuring. Is that judging? I guess it is. Yeah. But
you know what? Like I said, my friend Chris gave me the funniest thing. When we judge ourselves for judging, then we're actually keeping ourselves trapped in judgment.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's true.
So it's like, okay, I judged. Okay, cool.
Big deal.
That happened.
I like that for a couple of reasons. I mean, it reminds me of what happens in Christian circles, because one of the big concepts in Christianity is sin. Mm-hmm. And the concept of sin has, over the centuries, I would say over the millennia, actually, has taken on some stuff that the original concept didn't have in it. There's a lot of blame, severe judgment, all that kind of stuff. But you look at the original word, and the original word was, you missed the mark. That was it. There was no blame attached to it. It's like, okay, you had your bow and arrow, you fired the arrow, missed the bullseye. Go pick up the arrow and fire it again. Don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal.
Succeed.
Yeah, exactly.
Think again.
Yeah. And so I like the fact that you were essentially saying the same thing about judgment. Like, okay, so I judged. Big deal. Yeah.
And again, nobody's going to be the same way all the time. There's nobody that doesn't judge all day long. There's no one that judges all day long. We're all kind of sitting there.
Somewhere in the middle.
Between the two. And yeah. Guess what? It's okay.
Yeah.
That's my grief now anyway. That's how I roll.
I agree with you. I think it's an important idea because what we're really talking about is relaxing with this stuff. Mm. You know, so much of what we talk about in Taya is about the detuning. So much what we talk about when we talk about conscious creation is about, you know, overcoming blocks and overcoming resistances. But at the end of the day, it's just learning to enjoy it all, mm-hmm. which is a lot less complex.
It's a good place to be.
It's a good place to be, and it's an easier place to be. Mm. Yeah, a lot less strain, a lot less stress. I've become particularly aware of stress lately because particularly with this gardening business that I run for Louise, we got through the heaviest part of the year, which is May, early June, and I'm glad we're through it. I am very glad that we are through it. I commented to everybody that this past Monday and Tuesday there were no shows, actually. Monday, we had no internet service here, so I couldn't do a show anyway. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, I was just so stressed out. And it was so hot. Sent all the gardeners home. Then Louise and I went to the beach. We just kind of hung out, just melted into the sand. And it was wonderful. It was great. And it was just a reminder that, wow, I need to just get into that vibration a lot more often. Just relax about it. Don't stop taking all this crap seriously.
Exactly.
There's nothing serious going on here. What the heck am I doing taking it all seriously?
None of us are getting out of alive anyway.
Yeah, right. So what's there to worry about? What's the worst thing that happens? We die. Okay, well.
Okay. Well, that was happening anyway.
Yeah, right.
That was happening anyway. But, I mean, it can be easier said than done. I get that. Just be happy and let the judgment pass and just listen to LOA Today every day and go to the beach. But when you're in the thick of it, that's a much more challenging choice to make, which again is where the tire tools do come in. You know, being able to have an actual playbook that you can open up to use to get back into position where you can trust your abundance tire. So,
and that actually does play a role as you are gaining ground, so to speak, in something like Taya. That, again, that was another theme that came up during today's call. At least two or three people, boot campers, were commenting how now that things are starting to happen, they're moving toward their goals more efficiently and effectively, that stuff happens faster and that it can become overwhelming trying to just kind of keep up with, oh my God, all, you know, if you're looking for monetary abundance and the abundance starts to come in, it's like, stop, I'm drowning in the abundance. Help, help, help. Just throw me a life preserver. I can't take this. Well, that's kind of what it can feel like at times. You know, we're dealing with a polarity environment, and as stuff starts coming in, it's polarized. It's, you know, it's definitely up and down that spiral all over the place. So we get lots of opportunities to practice what you were talking about, practicing that, okay, yep, it's up, it's down. I'm not going to be too emotional one way or the other about it.
It's just what it is.
But we do get the practice. We get lots of the practice. Mm. I was experiencing that through the hiring of this new employee that we brought on today. This one was a different situation. No, not a different situation. It was a different experience from some of the more recent past hires, because in the past it was, oh my God, we're overwhelmed with work. Got to get somebody in here. Mm-hmm. You know, and how many do we need? How quickly do we need them? And, you know, just trying to solve this kind of stuff. This time it was, oh, I guess we need somebody else. Next phone call. Good. Let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, now the same craziness is going on.
Yeah.
It's not like that went away. Right.
Relationship.
It's just this time it's like, I'm just not going to respond to it. Mm. I'm going to do what has to be done, and okay, next, no biggie.
And the other thing as well is that, like the wheels keep on turning, like the wheels will keep on turning. And when you're like, oh yeah, the wheels just keep on turning, regardless if I get stressed out about it or not, like the wheels are going to keep turning. Again, it's just a very, very, very different situation to be in.
Mm.
The wheels return, whether or not I get mad about it or whether or not I'm happy about it.
Well, it's the same situation. It's a different way of experiencing the situation, yeah. Really. Yeah. Yeah, because we get to choose that.
Exactly.
We get to choose how we feel about stuff.
Hmm. So, someone told me, like, you know, lucid dreaming. People are, yeah, lucid dreaming. Create, you know, dominate your reality just like you do with a lucid dream. And I use the principles of lucid dreaming when we're doing our lucid living weekends. What they said just hit me. It's like, yeah, you control what happens in the dream, but the landscape of the dream and the dream itself, you don't dictate.
Mm.
You don't say, I'm going to have a lucid dream about this. You show up in the dream and then you lucidly move through whatever's there.
Right.
So it's like, oh, well, the wheels will turn, but I have the capacity and I'm blessed with the gift of having agency in how I operate within that dream, within that space.
Which, I mean, how much more power do you need, really?
Yeah, exactly. I want it all. I also want to create the dream. And know who all the dream figures are and all of the things. The more that you get into lucid dreaming as a reality creation tool or playing field, then you do start to see, oh, okay, it's not so much a limitation, but almost the frameworks and structures that everything operates in. It's very powerful when you're able to do that, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it is a limitation. I just don't think limitation is necessarily a bad thing. I mean, if I'm going to be playing soccer or baseball or something like that, I want there to be a soccer field or a baseball field or a basketball court or a tennis court. I don't want to try to play tennis on a squash court. I don't want to try to play baseball on a soccer field. It just doesn't work well. So I want that limitation. That's part of the dream. And I think that's going to be true for anything else that I'm wanting in my life. I want it to be framed, to use your term. I want that framework to be there because that's part of the dream, is to have that framework there.
Mm. I also think it's supportive, almost. Like, I can probably hike up the snowy mountain, but if there's a snow lift, that helps. I could just take the snow lift and get up to the top of the mountain. Like, the thing's still been achieved. I've not belittled myself. I've been supported in getting somewhere. The structure of that lift actually helps. We have that too with the structures and frameworks and agreements that hold reality together. They support us in being able to focus on what we're here to do, which is to have the human experience.
And if we do want to climb the mountain instead of riding the chairlift, because it's fun to climb the mountain, hey, then we can still climb the mountain.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's literally as many different varieties as we want to have.
Precisely.
Which is pretty darn cool. Hey, if you're going to be an eternal being, you might as well have eternal things to do, right?
Exactly.
That's something I try to remind myself of periodically. You know, I'm dealing with the day-to-day stresses. Because like you said, it's one thing to know the theory. It's another thing to actually start applying it while you're dealing with stuff.
Exactly.
And I try at times, I'm not totally successful, but I try to kind of take a step back and ask myself, okay, how does this look like from the fact that I'm an eternal being? And when I can ask that question, it does help a lot. Trying to remember to ask the question is more of the hard part for me. But when I remember it, it's like, oh yeah, well, this craziness right now is just a blink in time. I mean, it hardly even exists as such a quick blink.
Mm. Yeah.
So from an eternal perspective, it's like, oh, yep, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Eyelash in the eye. That was it. It's gone. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, not something I have to deal with now. It's a very, very different perspective. I wondered about that the first time that the stream came on, because the stream was really the first one that I can recall who talked about having that eternal perspective, that source energy perspective, if you will, and what it's like to have that perspective. And, you know, I never really thought about it that way. When certainly before I became a conscious creator in any sense of that word or that term, I was influenced by the Christian background that I had. And the Christian background is there's God and there's you, and God does the creating, and you're just, you know, you're the plaything, right? You know, do you spend any time thinking about what it is to be God? No, I mean, that's almost blasphemous. You don't go there, right? But in this practice, you can go there, and it's a fascinating place to be mentally.
In this practice, you're encouraged to go there.
Yep. But you're also, I think, expanding your perception. Because you're imagining a broader perception. That perspective is an all-encompassing perspective, which is a challenge for us humans because we have our one perspective. But it's a fun challenge.
Yeah, but we have our perspective based on our experience and based on the limitations of our mortal viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Zooming out, for example, expands that viewpoint and allows us to have a new perspective based on seeing through the eyes of source. For example, one of the exercises that we're given in Tyre, it doesn't change what's there, it just changes the way that we see it.
Right.
And gives us the ability to see more of the context.
Yes.
Like, have you ever seen that when people are mainstream media bashing, there's this one of a lion holding its cub in the mouth. And from one perspective, it looks like it's eating the cubs.
Oh, yes, yes. I know what you mean. Right. Right.
And from the other side, you can see, no, it's helping the cub. It's like right. Having both sides, zooming out to see both sides, gives us more context.
Right.
But for me, even that process is completely negated by not judging any of it. Because the reason why I want more perspective is more context, so I can change my perspective so that I can have more enlightened judgment. Whereas if we just accept it for what it is, then it doesn't really matter. I don't need to expend the energy on, oh, but let me make sure I'm looking at it from the right angle and all of the things. It's just, oh, okay.
Yeah, because there is no right angle. It's just how much of an angle can you get?
Yeah.
To me, it's just, you know, how many different ways can I understand to experience it and look at it and think about it and feel it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fun, to me, that's a fun mental exercise as well as a fun emotional exercise.
Yeah, but again, it's, am I doing it because that's what feels expansive for me to do, or am I doing it because I'm running away from the feeling and experience of not having a perspective?
That's a fine line too.
Right. So, and that's really where I'm at pretty much now. Like I said, I'm not doing, I do absolutely nothing that doesn't set me on fire. I don't want to meditate right now. Okay, I'm not going to do it. I really want to meditate. I'm going to go and do it. And I've just been playing for the last couple of months now with moving more and more into see what it's like on that razor's edge.
And what is it like? I mean, if you had to describe it now, what would you say?
I don't know yet.
Don't know yet. Okay.
I don't know too yet. Early. It's very much a long, big periods of existential crisis. And just seeing what the dickens is going to show up. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. No idea just yet, but we'll see.
I'm going to be very curious to see how you integrate this into what you're already doing. Because I trust, I totally believe what you're saying, that it's just kind of naturally integrating anyway. But I'm just going to be curious to see how it actually shows up from my perspective, from outside, so to speak.
Yeah. I don't know if people will see. Very rarely do people notice big differences because I don't look to make big leaps. In fact, I kind of avoid big leaps most of the time. I don't like the idea of the inevitable backslide that will happen being having such a big gap. Like I like to have really clean plateaus. So if I do drop back, I've dropped back a little bit. Okay, back on the saddle, it's just like a little bit. So I really do avoid big, massive change. Like consciously look to avoid it. So we'll see.
Well, in a sense, if I were to create a metaphor for that, you're kind of like a contractor who builds a set of stairs, a rather long set of stairs, but a set of stairs, and you want every step to be uniform step so that you're not tripping going up the stairs.
Nope. That's it. I find that quantum leaps happen within that, but then the perspective, if you will, of what the steps are, for me, still feel the same, even though they might look bigger from the outside. For me, there's a compound effect on the step.
So, talk about that compound effect too, because I think that's an important piece of this.
Well, so for example, we get people in microtimulators, for example, they start to build momentum and then the size of their manifestations, the size of what they create gets bigger, but it still feels normal to them. It's been normalized by the compound effect of them moving into different spaces.
Right.
One of the original people from the program shared that they manifested $40,000. And they had to remind themselves that $40,000 is a lot of money.
Ah, yes.
It's like, oh yeah, this is what some people earn in a year. And right. It showed up magically for them. But they're so used to money just sort of showing up. Like they looked on their Bitcoin account. There's like, oh, there's $7,000 in here. I didn't even realize that was there. And they've just been putting $10 a day for a long time.
Right. But
that continual increase plus the increases in the value of Bitcoin mean that they've now accumulated 7,000. And then there's something that we've got for them that they can do that they're going to go and make double digit interest on that per month. Right. Mm-hmm. But the miraculous becomes normalized.
Yes.
So the compound effect is that, you know, when I get a big surprise now, the big surprise could be, you know, massive big opportunity, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't feel like a massive big opportunity. It feels like a natural progressive step. But that happens with the compound effect of having the steps, the less outwardly outlandish manifested things.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point, too. I'm reminded, as soon as you were telling about that, I was reminded about the story that Joel Alston told me. I may have told you about it, where he had a client who was a billionaire. And he was coaching him on whatever it was he was coaching him on. I think it was relationships. And at one point during one of the conversations, it was a virtual session, so it was Zoom, you know, that kind of thing. And during the virtual session, the client, he was sitting at his desk, and he reaches over and he picks up a piece of paper shaped like a check. He says, oh, I forgot about that. And Joel kind of sits there to wait. He says, oh, it's a dividend check. It's a $17 million dividend check. I just forgot that it was even going to come in. You know? Like, meant nothing in terms of, you know, you and me or whatever, like $17 million. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And Tim was, oh yeah, that's just part of my normal daily experience. No big deal.
No, this is a different level. I mean, we get a lot of wealthy people, like a lot of really, really wealthy people here. And you just see them sort of bopping along. And sometimes you're going to a restaurant, there'll be like hundreds of billions or like whatever, hundreds of millions of net worth just seated around you, just everyday people just coming to have a bite to eat or whatever. But it's normalized.
Yes.
You know, it's a normalized thing. One of my members, he came down here for a retreat, I think in September or November, and he decided to go for dinner. One of the guys recommended where he went, and he ended up having dinner next table to Jeff Bezos and having a conversation with Jeff Bezos and his people about the wine that they were drinking. Jeff Bezos is number one or number two. He's always vying with Elon.
Pretty close, yeah.
Recording on July 1st as the richest person in the world. And it's just, oh yeah, that's just where we come and have dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been enjoying at times watching the videos of Elon Musk, as you mentioned, Elon, with his SpaceX and you know what's been going on with the development of their attempt to eventually go to and then perhaps even colonize Mars. And in the process of those videos, I like watching those times where they have like a breakthrough moment. You know, they're testing a rocket to see if, I remember the first time they tested a rocket to see if they could bring the rocket back to Earth after the booster had taken the capsule up into the stratosphere, and could they land it and then reuse it again. And watching Elon's face each time that happens, it's like, you can tell he's expecting it to work because he knows how much has gone into it and how many failures they've had and so on and so forth. And you can see the joy that's in his face when it does play out. But there's almost like there's a piece that says, what's next? Mm-hmm. Like, that was cool, but what's next? What's the next cool thing that's going to happen?
That's why he's a change maker. I mean, people have got their opinions about who he is and what he's like and all the other things, people who've never met him. Me and Olga had one of these conversations the other day. She's like, Elon Musk is this and Elon Musk is that. We're like, but you've never met him. You don't know. Well, I read this and I read that. Okay, but you've never met him. You don't know if that's just appropriate or something. You don't know what the thing is. But from us looking from the outside, though, regardless of what people feel like about him as a person, he has revolutionized the way we look at certain things. And the space race, the deep space race, I mean, Virgin Galactic were doing the space tourism, but the deep space race that now Jeff Bezos is in as well with one or whatever one that he's got, that's a whole new industry, a whole new level of thought, revenue streams for contractors and employers, opportunities for engineers and people with big dreams to test new things. And all of this has happened because people had ideas.
Yeah.
And we're looking at what's next. So I think it's a gift.
It's a wonderful gift. And I'm sure that anybody who wanted to could find flaw with any of these people, but I think it's much more cool to find what is cool about them. I think that's where the profit is. I think it's where the joy is. So, yeah, I share your appreciation of Jeff Bezos sitting down at lunch and being Jeff Bezos.
Having his dinner, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Just a reminder, we're going to be having a few guests coming up. There's going to be one coming up this coming Tuesday. Somebody I haven't really talked about a lot. Her name is Shangela. I love her first name. And she has some pretty cool psychic abilities. She's going to be coming in and sharing some of that stuff. So tune into the Tuesday show. But another couple weeks down the line, as I mentioned, David Strickle's coming in. So we'll be doing some more stream with David. If you wanted to ever ask a question of the stream and you haven't had a chance to do that, send it in using the Elaway Today app. That's the easiest way to do it. Be glad to include it in that conversation. And then the day afterward, we're going to have Stacy coming out, also from Taya, to share her perspectives about what it was like going through, what Daniel's going through right now. So it's going to be good stuff. But in the meantime, we lost Alex. I'm not sure where she went. She kind of dropped off the show. But
Maybe her computer melted.
Yeah, that's possible. And well, in the heat, I wouldn't blame it one bit at all. But thank you for all of your insights. That was really great. I hope you have a great week. And we appreciate everything you do. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners because you make the podcast worth it in every single way. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.